It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or
prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. As for that, let's do this again. Here we go. Hold on. Yeah, I said that right. Okay, here we go. Here we go.
Oh, man.
There's no throne. There is no version of this where you come out on top.
If we can't protect the Earth, you can be damn well sure we'll avenge it.
Hero brother, and it's time to get down. I'll be hidden in the shadow undercover at night. I'm a bad I do it tight. I'm your symbol of freedom, your symbol of hope, your symbol of justice for those who don't know. I'm the arms of the world, trying to throw. And if you want to step well, baby, I'm coming after you.
Welcome to From the Helicarrier, the number one coverer of content for MAA's Playdom's own Marvel Avengers Alliance. So since we cover the content in that show, I guess we don't have a show today, do we?
Coverer.
You like that? We coverer, the number one coverer of content.
Is that the remix?
Content. All right. So I am Epic Boss McFall. That is the two guys here you hear mocking me in the background is Golden Age Ibbot.
Hello.
And So Boss Klotz.
Ooh.
So I believe there's an open letter that you would like to talk about here.
This is the cold open, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was talking about this a little bit before the show. And I know that there's probably some folks from Playdom who do listen. To the show, and I'm certainly not going to jump on the bandwagon of saying, oh man, where's Spec Ops? What's the delay? But my question is to Playdom, is this the planned release schedule? Like basically, is there an ideal schedule or a planned schedule that you have, and is this within it, or is this one kind of did it slip behind, slip through the cracks? I understand quality assurance stuff. I've worked for software companies, so that's why I'm not out there in the trenches saying, "Man, I sure wish Spec Ops would drop today. It sure would be a nicer world if there was Spec Ops." but I am curious as to if Playdom itself is saying, "Hey, this isn't the timing that we want to release these. We want to release these things faster. We want to not have, you know, several weeks go by without any new content." I'm just curious if that is the goal. Let us know, and you can email us at fromthehelicarrier@gmail.com.
Yeah, you know, you can call in a voicemail. We won't hand out that number. You just have to find it yourself.
Nice. Well done.
Klotz, what do you think of the drought and the desert island of Castaway that we're on when it comes to content here?
I think I'm going to have to call in a assist from Mr. Wilson. He's going to be my call. He's going to come help me out. I don't know. I mean, as I told McFall before the show, I took a little MAA vacay. This is the first day I've played in well over a week, if not longer. So I don't know. If that's what you want your players to do, is to take a lot of time off. Mission accomplished, because I've done it.
Right.
But I mean, it'd be nice to have a Spec Ops to play. I mean, I'm excited. I'd like to see it. I'd like to see a new chapter. I'd like to have a reason to log in, any reason.
I mean, there's farming you can do. There's things like that. But after a while, it's like, you know, I want something a little more fresh, and Covert Ops is kind of a little bone to throw us. It does help. It does give us something new. sometimes you can get through that really quick, except for the collecting. And apparently this is going to be another collecting covert ops where use Rogue a couple times, use her specific attacks, and then you collect gloves. Because apparently Rogue goes through a lot of gloves. She takes them off. She absorbs somebody's power. She sets it down. She leaves it somewhere. They take off like, Whoa. Oh, crud. She calls the lost and found at the Denny's and says, did I leave a pair of green gloves there by chance?
No high fives in the meantime. But, you know, I get to play Ibbit today. I get to play Ibbit. So, all right. Let's get to it. Let's do the headlines, sir.
All right. Headlines it is. Keep us on track.
All right.
First up, last week, Carolina Dean got added to the lineup. Yet another runaway. She's our rainbow warrior, and probably a lot of people already have her leveled up pretty well, been enjoying using her. So far, she's a good, solid character. We'll talk a little bit about her in a little bit. Tomorrow, some news. Covert Ops, the aforementioned Covert Ops starts tomorrow, which gives Rogue a new alt. It's an alt that... gives us an alt.
Well, no.
An alt that we were promised years ago.
I see that somebody else is going, hey, last day for the lockets, Rogue co-op starts tomorrow. However, if you look at Magic's covert op right now, I've already done the one for today. I don't have it in front of me. It says through January 14th. So you think they're going to end it tomorrow and then immediately launch Rogue? Or you think...
Rogue starts tomorrow. That's what's
weird, because it didn't say through February 13th. It said through February. In fact, let me get to mission.
Generally, those dates, when it says it ends on a certain day, it literally ends the day before.
It's got a 12-hour countdown. You're correct. It's got a 12-hour countdown right now.
Yeah. Thanks for interrupting my headlines, McFall. I'm going to take another extra 2 minutes at the end of the show to sing.
I'm going to let you finish.
I've never felt so much like Beck in my life.
But Beyonce's new section was better.
Oh, my God.
So it is going to be a covert ops with some collection stuff. You're going to be collecting Rogue's gloves to get her new alt. This is an alt, by the way, kind of like Magic's alt that we got a couple weeks ago. That is one that we've known about for a while, one that we've seen in data mining and knew that they had been actually not even in data mining. They actually teased these, I want to say 2 years ago at a game developer conference and actually showed us the sprites that they were going to be using. And so they are finally getting those added to the game. We got Magic a couple weeks ago and it is Rogue's all green with what I would consider to be a bad fashion choice of two ribbons that can easily get tangled up in things. They can, if we've learned nothing else from The Incredibles.
No, if we've learned nothing else from Fashland.
We've learned that capes are dangerous, are very bad, and I can imagine two straps that dangle down from your costume that make it really easy for Magneto to grab you and yank you back are just as dangerous.
It felt like we just went 50 Shades of Adamantium here. I don't know. Is it just me?
It might just be you.
Okay.
Also in the headlines, Brian's trivia team loses by 1 point and takes seconds. 1 point. You know what? Second place is just fine when it comes to $3,000. So I will take it happily, divided, of course, among the six members of our trivia team. And that is it for headlines.
All right. We'll stick to the plan. I'm sticking to the plan. Quit yelling at me.
Stick to the plan.
All right, Klotzy, what we got coming up in sales?
Well, as you guys know, Carolina Dean came out, and she is 90 CP. And you will need her at some point, anytime in the future, for a Spec Ops that is to be released at a time that we are not willing to announce today. You got plenty of time to farm her. I mean, so much time. If you didn't already have the CP banked for her. Grab her and, get that done because you're going to need it. Because the pattern has held lately that when the Spec Ops comes out, the new character is always required. So there's that. And then we have this President's Day sale with a bunch of character-specific E-ISOs, including Psylocke, both of Deadpool's, Magic, Volstagg, Nightcrawler, Hank Pym, Havoc, both the Wolverines, Valkyrie, Ghost Rider, Emma Frost, and Mockingbird. So a lot of the ones that we saw previously around the holidays for the sales there, and they're all 5% off the 30 gold, expires the 18th of February. Mm-hmm. You know, we've talked about this a bit in the past. A lot of these are relatively easy to farm. I think a couple of them are a little tricky, so those might be worth considering. But I know the Deadpool and Wolverine ones are pretty easy to get, so I don't know that I would go run and buy those right away.
Yeah, right. It depends on if you want to farm it or if you want to just get it. You know, it's your choice.
I did use one of the Wolverine and Deadpool ones to farm CP back in the day before I had 12-2 unlocked. So, you know, that's a thing too.
Yeah.
Because it's only like, I think it takes 20 or 30 energy and you get the roulette.
Right. There is a bug in this, by the way, the store that would have made it really easy for me to start buying some of these is that if you click on the EISO that you're thinking about buying and you look over to the right and it says you own 0, equipped 0, even though I do own one and I do have it equipped. It would make it really easy for me to go through and say, oh, I don't have the Wolverine one, or oh, I need the Volstagg,
and then buy it.
Yeah, so now I have to go back and forth, but no, this is a good sale. Although, it's funny, they don't seem to have it in. They have it promoted on the front page, but I don't see it actually in the store itself. If I go to the store and choose ISO 8, I do not see the. I see all the hybrid ones, and I see all the ones that previously you could buy, but I don't see the. The character-specific ones that they mention on the sale page.
Now, the ones they were missing, I didn't think you could buy them for gold. Like, I thought you had to farm them.
Yeah, those were all, as far as I could tell, those are all ones you do have to farm.
So that might be, you won't see it until the sale actually drops.
Oh, so you're saying this is a teaser for a sale.
I think this is a teaser for a sale. Well, it's not President's Day yet, is it?
Well, no. But
And kudos to Klotz. I just felt like we should have some random loop going that's annoying cowbell mixed with some dance music and a dancing president to go right along with his great read of that ad. This president, I mean, he did. You felt like one of those President's Day mattress sale guys talking there.
Holy cow. All of a sudden, so I went back and and it's funny, now all those items are added to the homepage or the login page, and there are 10 different panels.
There you go.
You know how they've got their, like, here are the things we're promoting?
Yeah, yeah.
Two sale ones, two promos for Carolina Dean, two promos for, hey, you can go up past level 300 glitched. Now, two Molly Hayes.
So there's really five panels that glitched.
So, you know,
right. I blame Nikolai. I think it's Nikolai's fault.
You can't make up for the lack of content by putting out more panels.
Yeah, 10 panels of...
Like, come on.
All right. So here we go. So shout outs. We've got two this week. First off, and in honor of today's Castaway theme, we're going to get a little different shout out. But Agent Padilla made 300 and a big supporter of the show, Agent Blade, who we mentioned last week. He runs the superhero debate, 2014 debate page and some other pages. He always promotes what we do and he's a great guy. Agent Blade made 300. So in honor of Castaway, here's your shout out, Wilson. So there you go.
Nicely done.
Thank you. So have you played, because we know Klotz took a...
We know Klotz hasn't.
Klotz took a fakey, which would be a Facebook vacation. You're still on Facebook.
Oh, look at you, a fakey.
Fakey, there you go.
No, I wasn't playing the AK. Like, people have messaged me. I haven't responded to anything. Like, no, I just took a straight vacation. Make no mistake. So I was like, if I don't have to log into MAA, I don't have to log into this stupid blue and white website, okay? At it.
We only play because it's a damn show. You're like, whatever. I still love you, Playdom. Just, you know, enough alone time. I'm getting chafed. I'd like to play with somebody else for a little while. So.
Oh my God.
Too much? Too tune?
Too far.
Too far. All right.
Too tune?
Too shoot. Anyway. All right. Carolina Dean. Yes. I'm sure you went, just like I did, the very first 30 seconds she was out and recruited her.
Actually, I didn't. I was out in Albuquerque at the Geek Bowl competition, and actually also went on a Breaking Bad self-guided tour of all the locations out there.
Nice.
I got to tell you, there's a little funny story that goes along with this. So we decided, all right, let's go. You know, there's some maps online that show you all the locations for all the stuff that happened in Breaking Bad. And there's way too many than you can do in like a couple days. There's a ton, but we decided, all right, let's hit the biggies. Let's hit, Gus's laundromat. Let's hit, the spillway dam that you see where, Jesse realizes he's been betrayed. I'm going to be as spoiler free as possible for folks who haven't seen it. But, we thought early on, oh no, we're not going to do any of the residences because, you know, people live in those houses.
Yeah.
They didn't sign up for this. So my buddy who used to live in Albuquerque meets us down there and says, oh, hey, all right, you guys ready to do the Breaking Bad self-guided tour? He's going to go on it with us because he's the guy who got me into Breaking Bad. And he says, all right, first up, we're going to swing by Hank and Marie's house. Like, oh, dude, no, people live in those houses. He's like, don't worry. We're going to drive by them. We're not going to stop. We're not going to be a-holes. We're just going to like, we're going to go by and you can take pictures through the window. We're not going to stop or get out or be jerks about it. I'm like, all right, cool, fine. So our first stop is the house that they used for filming for Hank and Marie's house. And we're using the GPS guiding us through these streets. And finally it says, okay, turn right on this street. Your destination will be on the right. Great. We turn and we go down the street like, oh, it's a cul-de-sac. Okay. Well, I guess we're not driving by, but we'll loop around in the end of that cul-de-sac. No problem. I get out the iPhone camera. I'm like using the rapid fire to make sure at least I get one decent shot that doesn't include a side view mirror. Spoiler alert, I failed. And as we're pulling back out of the cul-de-sac, someone is pulling in and it's someone who lives right next door to that house. They are going to do a 3-point turn to back into their driveway, but they are going to stare at us the entire time. Like, it's almost like she had some sort of self-guided Ford Bronco that knew the way to get into her driveway. So that she could not take her eyes off of us as she did these turns.
Wow.
And, so after that, we decided, all right, well, let's go to Hank and Walt and Skyler's house. And as we're driving by that one, the owner of the house is sitting there in her driveway in a chair, again, watching us drive by. And we thought for sure that she was just like miffed, but apparently we saw an interview with her later on where she's a big fan of the show and she's actually okay with people going by the house. She knows the show's popular. She knows people are going to come by, but she's like, yeah, as long as people don't stop and get out and be obnoxious, then we're totally fine with it.
Cool. Well, that's always nice to know.
At some point I'll post those pictures on my Facebook page so people can enjoy them. But there's some really fun ones, and it's wild when you see these things that, you know, you've seen so many times in Breaking Bad and you see them in person. Anyway, so back to your question. No, I did not buy Carolina Dean right away when she came out. I did buy her the next morning though and started leveling her. And she's actually kind of fun. Flying character with shields and attacks. Well, we think she's a flying character. Maybe she's a hovering character. Maybe that's the differentiation.
Maybe. And we're, of course, referring to the daily mission today, which is for flyers, except her.
Right. And Cannonball.
Oh, I didn't know Cannonball was also cut off.
Yeah. He's, I guess he's not a flyer as much as he's a point him in a direction and get out of the way kind of thing. He flies in the same way that a bullet flies.
Well, that's kind of like Falcon. Falcon's a flyer, but he only does in one attack. But I guess technically, because his character in the comics flies a lot more than his character in the game does, I guess he counts. And this is a setup for Klaus. Now, I did buy Caroline. We're going to talk about her gameplay in a second. But in the chat room, very early on, someone says, here's a soapbox for Klaus. How are you going to say there's nothing to make the agent fly? You can spend tens of thousands of dollars to do all kind of things, from making an Iron Man suit to hovering cars to, you know, you name it, S.H.I.E.L.D. can do it. But they can't give me a jetpack to equip my hero to make them a flyer. All right, Klaus, what's your response?
Yeah, no, I mean, absolutely. There should be I always thought it was weird that if you don't, like, when you equip the goblin gliders, it doesn't make you fly. Like, it should make you fly, right? Like,
yeah,
that's what it should do.
Well,
and it would be
you're
really
not writing
amazing.
It. You're just using it to bonk people in the head as it flies around.
Yeah. No, I'd like to ride it. Like, I'd like to ride it. I think that would be awesome. As a matter of fact, I'd like to mass produce it, and I see S.H.I.E.L.D. agents as far as the eye can see floating around like Daleks in the sky with goblin gliders. And, you know, some of those little pumpkin bombs, let's just make some of those too. And, oh, shit, I just became an evil villain. I guess that's how it happens. It's, you know, the idea sounds cool, and the next thing you know, you're trying to take over the world. I think it would be great. I've thought for a long time that it would be cool if we had more items that gave status effects like that, like for different things that either countered certain things or enabled other things, especially with these sweet new daily missions that have all these different criteria that we could choose to opt our hero in, or our, I'm sorry, our agent in for if we wanted to. I'm totally with Matt on that. I think that's a great idea. So make it happen, Playdom, you know,
You could easily see them introducing a line of trench coats later on, or a line of
sponsored by Taco
gear.
Bell. We know how you fly.
We're like a utility like a, belt, you know, or something.
A series of each class, and maybe they give the agent flying in one of them. Maybe all of them are like, it's a flying blaster, it's a flying bruiser. But it'd be really cool to like give you, all right, our tactician has flying, our bruiser has protect or built in stealth for the first couple rounds or something like that, and have these things you can equip that have additional powers, not necessarily related to the class. Like right now, you know, you get the class based suits that do the extra bonus things, like give you the automatic extra turn, for example, in the case of the tactician, but have it give us some bonuses that you normally wouldn't get unless you used a weapon, or flying would be a great one. Have them actually hovering. I don't know. Be really cool to introduce some stuff like that.
Now I'm going to play the flip side of that.
Sure.
But first, in the chat room, IceBolt1000 says, if the heroes drink a Red Bull, they can fly.
Sure.
That would be great sponsorship, right? A Red Bull item, your hero, but now you're a flyer. So that'd be fun.
And Mike TDNK said, well, old Luke Cage could be considered flying because he's never left the flight deck.
There's that. Now, I will never argue with new ways to outfit my agent, because you never know what combination is going to work, but I will argue for the fact that right now I don't think our agent should be classified as a flyer, because with the daily missions, I can only take my agent on about half of them. I haven't really paid attention. Maybe I could take the agent on more, but I like it because it's forcing me into learning new combinations of heroes that all of a sudden I go, oh, that worked really well. Let me try that out in PvP, because I don't have the mind of the king. And I don't have the mind of some of these other people who are always like, yeah, I tried Squirrel Girl and Fox Boy. I'm like, they didn't even release Fox Boy. What are you talking about? But somehow they made it work in the game. I don't know. But, you know, I don't have that mind that puts together these odd combinations. So being forced into that has really been enjoyable on most days. Like today with the undead, and there's nobody who flies that kills undead. It's just kind of like, okay.
What you're saying is, because you're a filthy casual, the rest
really,
of us
Mr.
shouldn't
Vacation?
Get any toys.
Really, Mr. Vacation? Okay. No, I'm not saying it shouldn't. I'm advocating for, okay, if you left it alone, I'm okay with that, because I think it makes you be more creative. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, that's why I kind of liked my idea of it being like an item or something, and it's optional. You don't have to bring your agent, but you can. I like options. Like I've always liked it when we've had opportunities in the past to bring the agent or leave them behind at a whim.
Yeah.
So that's my stance on it. But I mean, you know, yeah, you're not wrong. Trying out new possibilities is awesome. I mean, of course, flyers pretty much always means I run the team that I'm running today, which is, you know, Pepsi, Mark 42 and Magneto, and then they just kind of like blast everything out of the sky.
Yeah, so I've done that. Today I actually ran Nova with Magneto and I forget somebody else, somebody offbeat. Rescue. And it did okay. Oh, Hero. Hero.
Have you guys noticed with today's daily, have you had better luck on the roulette today?
I only played the once.
Because I've gotten two weapons in a row.
Oh, wow. Good for you.
I got a weapon I already had, but it was a nice one. So
I got the Britannic staff from the Murder World set.
Yeah.
And then I just got the custom sword of the Barony. I mean, it's, you know, not super impressive, but it's cool.
That's actually a really good one. Yeah. I see that one every once in a while in PvP, and it does some nice bleeds, if I remember correctly, right?
I think so. I think it also has a healing strike. Vampire. Yeah, healing strike or something like that. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, this is cool.
So Carolina, I've been playing with her. I've leveled her up to 5, and a lot of people have already power leveled her up to at least 10, if not higher. And I agree with the reports that she can be a tank. She's got the shields that affects everybody. She's got some great blasts. I haven't played with her level 6 or level 9 yet, but again, a good runaway. I've loved Molly. Molly came out, and I'm a fan of the runaways. And I love that a lot of people in the Agents Only Lounge missed the whole Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds reference at Closet. It kept dropping in for music, and other people were dropping in. And we had to explain to them in the comic, you know, everybody got a code name at first. Princess Power was Molly's, and Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds was Carolina, because of, you know, as they've chosen with artwork to show the whole rainbow skinned alien thing going on. So
because she's a frequent user of psychedelics, right?
That's right.
Would it be that, or would it be everybody else around her is frequent? She took the blue pill, the red pill. Yes.
No, don't take the brown acid. That's an old Woodstock joke right there. Ask your parents. Right.
Can you put your kid on to more relate to us for a little while? Sorry. No? Okay. So then, yes, the Rogue Alt hunt will start. I've been educated. It'll start tomorrow. And that's kind of irritating. It says by February 14th. I would automatically assume I have until tomorrow, but they really mean midnight of the 23rd.
But this is how it's been with everything. Like I said, you know, single timer has always been it ends at midnight of that.
Except for PvP, right? Because it's like the opposite. It's like you've got one more day left, and then all of a sudden does a 24-hour countdown after that.
Yeah, well.
So I don't know.
Who needs to be consistent?
Not us. We don't need that. Right. So you went over it mostly already, Ibit.
Yeah.
I'm excited about the potential of this alt, though, the powers that it had where she keeps the classes that she absorbs. I think that's pretty cool. Then you can kind of stack, you know, your powers pretty well.
Mm-hmm. I guess,
Didn't she have that kind of thing before? I mean, didn't she have the...
No, because she'll respond with absorb power, right? She'll counterattack with absorb power.
Right.
So let's say you're obviously a generalist, and in this case, you have a scrapper and you have blaster to pick from.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I guess.
So you have a little extra power, but if she absorbs a power, you get, let's say, the blaster power. But then if she counterattacks before you have a turn and absorbs scrapper power, it replaces the blaster power.
See, I thought those are two separate. Alts you can get, right?
You got to base it off of the base premise that she's a generalist. So, yeah, ignoring that you can get that power with the alt, I'm just talking about absorbing the power itself. If you absorb Bruiser...
Absorb powers are now permanent. Yes, right. Yes. The classy lady passive buff.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Chains each absorb class benefit. Yes.
I can stack Bruiser with Scrapper, with Blaster. Probably not beyond that, because I can't remember if there's a cooldown to absorb power, so it's only if she counterattacks. But you can stack so many powers together now to pound the crap out of somebody, theoretically. Mm-hmm. Which gets me, you know, I like to smash. So, you know,
rogue
smash. Let's go.
No, the key is that it's permanent, is that you actually get those benefits for a while. Very cool, though. This is, it's just not my favorite rogue costume, but I think I do like the main one that they started with as far as the costume design. But, it just seems like those straps are going to get tangled around. Like if you whip around really fast, you're fighting Avalanche, you spin around, one of those things goes around your neck, all of a sudden, you know, you're killed by your own costume. Doesn't seem like a good idea.
It's like capes, you know?
Right. Exactly.
Oh, did we just hit rewind on the show? I don't know what just happened here. We're going back over it again. So we talked about, what was your favorite moment of the trivia in Albuquerque?
Favorite moment.
Besides obviously holding up that beautiful big check.
Big-ass check, which we left in the bar at the the place where the thing was held. There was a complete geek moment here, but there was an entire round of of dances. So, you know, basically, usually for these things in the past 8 years, this is the ninth year they've done it. For the most part, it's been they come out, ask a round of questions, and then they may maybe there's a round of bands where the bands are playing the songs you have to identify, things like that. And they did have that here as well. They had the Dan Band come out and perform some songs. If anyone's seen The Hangover, the Dan Band is the group that performs in there. But for one of the rounds, they brought out a local Albuquerque dance troupe, and without any words, just with the music and their dancing, they acted out the dance scenes of 8 different movies.
Wow.
And it was things like the table, the dance around the table caused by Beetlejuice and the movie Beetlejuice, that Harry Belafonte's yes. Banana Boat song. The dance that Jennifer Lawrence and what's his face?
Bradley Cooper
do from exactly Silver Linings Playbook. The Little Miss Sunshine dance.
Oh,
all
nice.
These. And then there were a few of them in there that my team had absolutely no idea about, like 4 or 5 of them. And I was able to nail down all 8 questions and write them down without, you know, with very little input from the team. And it was like, all right, now here's my contribution to this win. It's like, I get to have a wheelhouse here and nail down all these songs.
I totally wish I'd known that story before we introduced you as Golden Age, because you've been the dancing queen, Ibbit, today, for sure.
I am so glad that I didn't tell you that story before.
But it's great to have that. I mean, even if it is dancing, which is not nothing to be ashamed of, it's all still geek dancing
and
stuff.
Well, no, I mean, it's movies, you know, it's movies
fun.
That 500 Days of Summer, the thing that Joseph Gordon-Levitt does to Hall & Oates.
Okay, all right. Full stop. You have named far too many chick flicks. Okay,
I've 500 seen Days them. Of Summer is not a
okay. So wait a minute. Yes,
Days
it
of
is.
Summer
it totally
is absolutely a chick
oh,
flick.
No.
I've
absolutely,
seen it. It's a great film.
I'll watch
but it's
it. Yeah.
A chick flick. Silver Linings Playbook
is it a chick flick.
Good movie.
Oh,
but
it totally
I've seen
is.
It. Chick flick.
What? Like, Beetlejuice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Beetlejuice? On, no, I don't know. Well, yeah.
Anything with Winona Ryder in it or whatever writer
no,
or whoever it is.
No, that's not
is
fair.
It, yeah. It totally is a chick flick.
I've watched Beetlejuice a million times.
Now, I will give you, one of them was Mean Girls. I'll give you that one as a chick flick.
but to me to side with Ibbit here, I totally feel this, is there's a reason you hate Tomorrow Klotz, and it's because we have women and we understand what it takes to keep them.
Oh, jeez.
What's that have to do with what we're talking about?
Chick wow. flicks, Valentine's
I've
Day.
I've seen them. Just I just said that I've seen them.
But like, taken, even though I'm grateful you've taken the focus off of me.
That is
I have
rude.
To stand up and defend poor
you
Paul
are a
with
rude man.
I'm sorry. Do I need
I
to?
Very
to,
upset.
Do I need to drop some content for you now? I apologize.
That would be nice.
Yes, please distract us with some content.
Oh, Lord, I apologize. For stepping on Paul's beard, this yes. beautiful, glorious beard, it's my bad. I apologize.
You should. So,
but that's fun. It does sound like a fun that's trivia because I think I'd have been lost on some of those as well. Samuel 8 in the chat room. Boom!
pretty soon, there will be a post put up by the Geeks Who Drink guys that actually has a list of all the questions and answers. And as soon as they link that, I'll point people towards it so they can see the kind of things that we were having to answer questions about. There was one superhero related question in there. There was an entire round where people came out in cosplay and just asked questions that kind of loosely related to what they were asking. And one guy came out in a Hulk costume and asked people if they remembered the name, of TV show starring what blah blah, which basically had crap. See, all this stuff is like gone out of my mind. Some American Idol contestant, brunette that was in, been in a few movies, but it was where she was playing Marilyn Monroe, and
Smash.
Because he came out as Hulk, the show they were looking for was Smash.
Yeah.
See, I did not know that.
See, you break my balls, but I know things, okay? I know things.
It's okay to know things. You're breaking Ibbit's balls. I broke your balls. You break both of our balls. It's all good. All right. So speaking of dodging actual questions and having no content to discuss this week for the game, because I had that in the Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com/ from the helicarrier, the swag hole asked, like, so you ran out of MAA stuff, huh? I was like, yeah, it's Play-Doh. What can we do right now? There was a Q&A this weekend that went something like this. Hey, is there going to be any content? I'm just here so I don't void my contract. Hey, do you like the color purple? Hey, I'm just here so I don't void my contract.
I'm just here because I don't want to get fined.
That's a quote. Thank you, Klotz. Yeah. Thank you. That's a quote. Yeah. But you knew where I was going with that.
You don't know anything. I mean, it's fine.
I'm a filthy casual.
That's what I'm here for.
I own it.
Lonely Paul is here to back you up with the facts because you're too busy with your wild and crazy life as a married man with a bunch of kids. So I will, I'll get the facts for you because
we
because I have the time to.
A big shout out to Agents of the Shield. They got, let me get his name here because I want to make sure I
don't. Alex Irving?
Alex Irving, yes. Yeah. Irvine. Sorry, Alex Irvine, who is a writer, great writer, by the way, not just in the field of MAA, but writes the storylines that the MAA content is based around. A fairly interesting Q&A that definitely had more to do with his writing and comic stories and things like that than, of course, any information that he could reveal in the, in the context of the game. Totally understandable, but still really, really cool. And, you got some insight into what his likes and dislikes are. I think my favorite question that they asked was, all right, you've got a golden ticket to write any MAA storyline, right? And bring any set of characters or any storyline in the game. Which one do you do? And he picks Micronauts, which was such a great, such a great series and such a great toy line from the 80s that...
I love he says, I'm not kidding. That's in his answer. Know.
I love that. And the Micronauts, the Micronauts toy line and the Micronauts series, especially the stuff that was drawn by Mike Golden, was some great Marvel work right there. And seeing some of the characters from that would be incredible. Because there were a few Micronauts that were created specifically by Marvel that never had toys associated with them. And it'd be really cool to connect them with the game.
How would that, would they be a special call-in? Would we get four of them on one character so they could stack up? I mean, how would that work for us?
I think you'd have to do something where Hank Pym got involved and gave them the ability to grow to full size so that they could help out the Avengers.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's the only way you could really do it, unless you do a covert or a spec ops where the Avengers have to shrink down to their size and battle against enemies in their, in the microverse. That would be another
option. That'd be cool, yeah.
Really cool. Yeah.
We could reach out to something from my youth and get Rita Repulsa in to make her monsters grow.
Perfect.
Yeah, that would solve the problem. I'm just saying,
There you go. That's how you bring it. That's how you bring it all together.
That's how you bring it all together.
Cool.
Excuse me. So, all right. So the other questions, there wasn't really anything here that answered. There's two answers I really want to highlight is everybody asked a question, of us, of anybody involved in this game. If you could pick one non-Marvel Disney character, who would it be? And everybody has all kind of fun answers. I love this answer. Doofenshmirtz from Phineas and Ferb was very fun. Although I would have gone with Perry, personally, if you're going to go with that cartoon. But that was a fun answer. But this is my favorite. This is classic I can't talk about stuff answer. Carolina Dean shields protect against dark effects. What exactly does that constitute? Or is this something we'll see later in the game? And basically, like, what does that mean? Stay tuned is the answer. It's like, what? You have it in the description. You can't tell us what it means. What are dark? I mean, we're left to guess what dark effects are.
What if it does tie into a future storyline, a future spec ops or something like that? I think it's totally valid. He doesn't determine what powers they have, right? I mean, he writes the storylines that they're based on. The question I really like too was, can you shed some light on the writing process on the game? For example, you get a sketch and someone else checks it, and then you rewrite, and then Marvel says, "Okay, how does it really work?" And he says, the team roughs out a direction for a spec op, deciding which new characters to use and what the broad outlines of the story are. Then I go draft something, then we argue about it, then I revise it, then Marvel approves it, and then it gets built.
Yeah.
We think about the end result so many times about, just plunk us together a spec ops, give it to us. But there is some writing. There's an overall story arc structure that has to fit within and not contradict. Everything has to move the story towards this thing that they're building towards with the Worthy and all that. So it is kind of cool to see that that there's this story stuff happening in the background that is getting the same level of attention as the sprites and the same level of attention as the gold sales and things like that. You know, stuff that they're working hard to do. So I do like that.
You mean those annoying windows I have to click through to keep smashing things?
Those are the ones, yes.
This is the guy that's responsible for those?
You read through them the first time, right?
No, I'm kidding. I do read the story generally at some point. Not usually right. the first time. Usually the first time I'm blitzing through to try to see what's going on. But
oh, really?
Okay. And one of the times, sir, I will always stop and smell the roses, if you will.
Yeah.
That's probably a better way of getting through the stuff to get to get like the research projects going. Get those started, and then you can go back and you can read them the second time you go through to start farming stuff.
Yeah,
actually, kind of like that idea.
I will do a mixture of the two. Is usually I start off reading it, and then I get caught up in blitzing, and then I'll go back and go, oh yeah, I haven't read these parts. Mm-hmm. But then I forget. Like at the end of, it may have been the last Spec Ops. I think it was the last Spec Ops where, I just went DC. I want to call him Darkseid, but it's Thanos. When Thanos made an appearance as the epic boss.
Are you trying to imply that there might be some gross similarities between Marvel and DC characters?
I would never, ever hold back from implying that.
I don't know about that, Green Arrow Hawkeye. Because,
yeah.
Flash Quicksilver. But,
he brought his own story, right? Thanos brought his own story to the epic boss battle. And I saw somebody comment in one of the somewhere on Facebook. I can't remember if it was Angel's Only Lounge or where, but they're like, oh, that twist at the end. I went, crap. I read it. I don't remember being a twist at the end. What did I miss? And then I kept forgetting to reread it because I'm blitzing after that. So I was like, I apologize, Mr. Irving. I'm sure you do a great story. And I do enjoy reading it at some point through the progression. I just don't always remember every bit of it.
Yeah.
But we're just here so we don't get fined.
You know who else is just here so he doesn't get fined is the man himself, Kingfisher 745. And before I hit that button, let's turn it up. Hey.
What is up from the Helicarrier? It's Kingfisher 745. And this is the All Hail the King segment that you can only find right here. We have no time to delay because today I have a lot of serious stuff to talk to you all about. First of all, I'm very excited to announce that Spider-Man is in the Marvel Universe. Spidey is a Marvel character. You heard it here first. And in other breaking news, I used to love playing with action figures. I definitely was still getting them as gifts, at least up to the 6th grade. First of all, I was the youngest person in my grade, no lie. Secondly, I've always loved video games, so I can't say I wasn't playing them at an early age as well. What I am saying is, for a long time, video games were secondary on the gift/wish list. And what did that afford me besides an awesome action figure collection? Well, I got to open a ton of presents, because you could get a lot of figures for one video game. Mm. Alright, and we're going to have to condense this story because, truthfully, it could be a 2-hour expose. I mean, there's a lot that I wanted to say, but the essence of it is this. I look around at my younger cousins, and they're like 4 and 5 years old, and they have phones, or well, I should say they play with their parents' phones, but they have things like their own tablets. Oh, and they have a ton of other electronic devices, and they could care less about actual toys. Besides the fact that I think it's insane that a 4-year-old would get an iPad for Christmas, I just look at that and think how many action figures he could have got instead. But besides the gift-to-dollar ratio, what I think is the biggest tragedy, well, they're kind of missing out on their own imagination. And the reason I think that is because of my own personal experience. I went back and I tried to play with action figures. Okay, I admit it. I was definitely like 19 or 20, and I thought I'm going to have an awesome adventure. But when I grabbed Wolverine, Sabretooth, and even one of my favorite villains, Onslaught, I mean, I used to have him take on everyone. Even Batman got involved. Nice. Well, long story short, I had the figures in my hands, and I could no longer come up with plausible scenarios. No matter how hard I tried, I just could not have fun with them. And it got me to thinking, I no longer have an imagination. I think I still have good ideas, and I can be creative, but it's not the same as a child's imagination. Maybe it's the years of video games and TV. I don't know, something took it away, or something was lost. So my agent's tip of the week is, if you're young, or if you still have your imagination, use it before you lose it. Now on to the game. After that super positive message, I am so frustrated with this game right now. I'm sure that some of you have seen it is coming out on social media a bit, but seriously, Spec Ops is taking forever, and the fact that they released Magic and Rogue Alts that I think were first announced 2 years ago, well, that's not enough to placate me. Don't get me wrong, it probably would, if we didn't have to do collection tasks that's going to take us 2 weeks of dailies. Mm. How's that supposed to make the players happy? If you're going to throw a dog a bone, you don't throw it 2 feet in front of where their leash reaches. That only makes them more upset. You might even end up making them choke themselves. I mean, who do we have developing over there? Michael Vick?
Oh,
the reason I get upset and the reason why I'm complaining is twofold. Number one, I am a fan of the game. I love playing it. They've made a great game that I really enjoy. Secondly, when you're creating content on a game, I think it's easier to see the numbers because I am given analytics on YouTube. Whenever there's new content, there are spikes. It's as plain as day to see. There's more interest, there's more excitement, and it's just great for everyone. And you know what? I don't know what's going on over there. I don't know what size of team they have or what they're expected to do. So I can't even speculate, and I don't know what the holdup is or how much blame to even give. I mean, I'm sure it's tough and they get a lot of flack. But I have to say the last Spec Ops came out around December 16th, and much, much worse, the last chapter was way back in mid-October. Mm-hmm. I'd have to speculate that it's going to be at least 5 months between chapters. So at that rate, they're going to put out like two a year. I know there's 2 months left over, but hey, chapter 8 isn't even out yet, so who knows how long it's going to be. I'm sorry, but that's insane. I mean, when are we even going to finish Season 2? In 2018. I specifically remember them saying that chapters weren't going to take as long, I think after number 4. Then here we are.
Yeah.
And the best thing in the game are Season 2 chapters. You may think it's PvP for me, but it's not even close. And part of that is because they made Season 2 so awesome. I really don't know what we can even do about it, but I do know that I need to hurry along, so the next video is going to be on Carolina Dean. I'll give you two of the team-ups and a quick rundown. First of all, I'm going to use Rocket Raccoon. So we're going to go with the Generalist Rocket, and then on my agent, I'm going to use the Cosmic Cardinal and the Rook. So Carolina is going to get a ton of energy. Those Empyrean stacks are going to be maxed in no time. Of course, the only problem would be Iron Fist, but that's always going to be a concern, at least for a Rocket team. Next, we're going to use Magneto because, well, shields. He's got the best shield in the game. And then on top of that, he does incredible damage, so just imagine him with Shield Slam. I bet his level 2 can one-shot an enemy. Then for the third team up, you're just going to have to tune in and watch. So that'll be the next All Hail the King episode, and now we're at the end of this segment. So I do want to thank you all for listening, and then send it back to the hosts.
Thank you, King. I appreciate that.
Yeah, he did another video last week that I really enjoyed that went over the best places to level characters. Because if you get tired of 112-2, as I do, you kind of want some other alternatives. And so he mentions a few other places to do power leveling that that I'd completely forgotten about. And it's very cool.
That is cool.
So King dropped the bomb, man.
Yeah, he did. Yeah,
I know.
I mean... Yeah.
It's hard. You don't often hear him get angry about stuff, but
every single time that Kingfisher has ever been frustrated with something, he's always apologized profusely a million times and been like, "Well,
sorry that I'm going to get angry about this."
I think we rubbed off on him a little bit.
And yeah, I mean, he's been loosening up a bit lately and getting being a little more forthcoming with his feelings at times, and that's good.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I think that's kind of like, I don't want to beat play dumb up. Everybody knows that this is long past overdue. We're, you know, we're all wondering what's mm-hmm. going on. Obviously, there's a problem internally, but you know, the thing is, it's like he said, it's that excitement thing. And right. if there's not new content, there's no excitement. I mean, I like I said, I haven't felt compelled to log in over a week.
Exactly. You're, you know, this is a great, you're a great example of this is that how many people are doing the same kind of thing where it's like, you know, I'll just take a week off from the game. And maybe during that week they find something else they enjoy playing. Maybe they pick up Hearthstone or Five Nights at Freddy's or whatever.
Transformer Strategy.
Exactly. Or Contest of Champions. Who knows? Yeah. It could be anything.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's lack of content or lack of feeling like there's something new and fresh in the game drives players away. That's the bottom line. Mm-hmm. And
you don't always know you'll get them back, you know?
Right, exactly. And I guarantee you that during these lulls, they're people buying gold. The number just drops significantly because people aren't buying gold so they can get more UISO. They're not buying gold so they can get more characters or get more PvP items to shelve in their armory, things like that. When there's nothing going on, there's no reason for people to buy gold and there's no money making in the game.
Yeah. Yep. So I had a crazy thought. I'm playing the game now and yeah, I log in to keep my CP growing, you know, so I do the daily spin, grab my CP. I always do a daily mission just to see what it is because some of them are really fun. And, of course, we all talk about farming EISO and AISO in those days. But I definitely stay in the game, but I found other stuff. But the odd thought that I had was I'm looking below the game right now, and it says terms of service, privacy, report offensive content. And it's a Facebook link. I'm like, click. It's offensive that they have not dropped new content in a while. But of course, I'm not going to do that because that would just be stupid. But I had that thought. And going before we get to From the Field, which we have a good one coming up, we want to talk about two things. Of course, the Spider-Man thing coming out and expanding universe and some other stuff there. But first, I do feel bad for how harsh I was on Klotz about Valentine's Day and the female thing. So Klotzy, you know, I do promise that at your wedding that you will one day have, I will bring a nice, very collectible, crafted, hopefully even licensed by Marvel some way, somehow, tombstone that says, "Welcome to being a filthy casual." And that'll be my wedding present to you.
Well, I thought you were going to bring him a Funko Pop figure of, you know, the marriage of Reed Richards and Sue Storm.
Oh, well, that would be cool. Now, see if Funko would do that for us specifically, and absolutely, I'd give him something awesome. But no, because you become a filthy casual when other things happen, and I would love to celebrate that when you find the right one, whoever that may be.
Okay, so, all right.
You've got some expanded universe news here, guys.
Nope.
No news for you. Move on.
We've got some exciting developments. It has been announced that Gina Carano is going to show up in the Deadpool movie. This is relevant because she, if anybody knows, she's a mixed martial artist who has made the transition to doing some acting and other things. And she was in the last Fast and Furious film. Not the one that's coming out soon.
Six.
That got delayed.
Number six.
But the last one before that. And she was pretty good in it. So exciting. There's some speculation over who she's going to be. I didn't see if it was confirmed exactly who she's playing.
Slash Film says that it's a character named Angel Dust. That Angel Dust has powers that reflect the effects of the drug that give the character her name. She has the ability to chemically supercharge her adrenaline levels, temporarily granting her superhuman strength.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Okay. But also in that, apparently we're going to see some Colossus in that film as well, which I am super excited about because Colossus is one of my favorite X-Men.
And they have yet to do him well on the screen.
He was all right.
He's all right, but he doesn't get really much screen time. Like in the X-Men movies, he gets minimal screen time. And what they did with him was fine, but you just don't get anything out of him.
Right.
Yeah, I agree. They definitely could do more with him and do it better. He was a lot better in Days of Future Past, though. I will say that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, it's so, you know, we'll see where they go with it. But the big news, the biggest expanded universe news is Spider-Man is officially part of the MCU, which is huge. Now, Marvel hasn't reacquired the rights to him per se. They are working hand in hand with Sony. They're playing nice. From what I understand, is Kevin Feige and I think it's Amy Pascal are both going to work on the Spider-Man film, and also there's going to be a little bit of crossover in the third Captain America film, where right. Spider-Man will make an appearance.
In Civil and War, yeah.
Yeah, Civil War. In Civil War. Yes. So basically the way it's going to work is that Marvel is keeping, like, they're not exchanging any of the revenue on the films, so Marvel's keeping its money from its films, and Sony's keeping its money from its films, but they're going to work together on the story elements and cross-promotion, all that stuff, which we talked about a bit in the past, if you guys will remember. We speculated. I know I lobbed forth the idea that this is something that could happen and should happen, and especially in the wake of everything that happened during the holidays with the hack at Sony mm-hmm. and all the stuff getting released. We knew that they were trying to work on something because of that hack. You know, there was information released that they had failed to come to an agreement a few times. So this is really exciting, though, because, you know, the biggest thing about Civil War that everybody's talked about is, like, you can't do it without Spider-Man. And here we have it. He's going to be there, and he's going to be a part of it. So, from what I've heard, though, it's pretty much all but guaranteed that Andrew Garfield is out, which is unfortunate.
No, mm-hmm. they announced it's guaranteed. They announced that he right. would not be in the Marvel. Yeah.
I didn't see anything official yet, but
they also announced that they said something like, you know, it's we're happy to bring fans the next chapter in the story of Peter Parker, which means that this is not going to be a Miles Morales storyline either. Right. What I would be happy to see, though, is there isn't anybody out there who doesn't know the story behind how Peter Parker got his powers, or at least no comic movie viewing audience that already doesn't know the story. Bypass all that. My guess is Marvel will. My guess is Marvel is just going to go straight to, hey, Civil War. We do finally have a character in the MCU whose identity is secret, you know, because everybody knows that, you know, we know Steve Rogers is Captain America. We know yeah. Tony Stark is Iron Man. In order for Civil War to have the controversy that it does and give Steve Rogers something to fight for, there has to be that freedom that's getting tread upon. And secret identities are that thing. And Peter Parker in the comic is one of these linchpins, and his revelation of his secret identity is a big turning point in that whole series. But to not have any current characters in the MCU that have that weight placed on their secret identity means that this is a huge addition to the Civil War character list.
Yeah.
Well, you know, because the real threat in the Civil War storyline, the real threat was that Spider-Man had a whole mess of villains, you know, his own rogues gallery that, you know, were based around New York City and everything that would, once they got that information, mm-hmm. they'd go after the ones he loves. And right. I don't know if I talked about this on the show in the past, but, like, the real difference between, you know, the real street level heroes like Spider-Man and Luke Cage and Daredevil and the mutants from the X-Men stories and, you know, all the expanded stuff on that is that, you know, the street level heroes all have families and friends and people that they care about personal in their personal lives that they interact with. Whereas the mutants, generally it's other mutants, you know, so it's a lot harder to threaten something like the X-Men and say, oh, we're going to kill your families and stuff, because a lot of them have been disenfranchised from their families. You know, the X-Men or X-Force or whoever is their families in a lot of cases. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the whole thing, is like, you really need that street level character. I call them street level characters, you know, the ones that when we were all growing up, we read, and, you know, they usually took place in New York, but occasionally elsewhere. And that is going to add a lot of gravitas, I think, to the storyline. It's going to be great. I'm really, really excited to see what they do with this. But while we were talking about this, I had another thought, too. You know, it'd be really great, depending on how well Daredevil and their other TV shows go, if they could do, like, I don't know, like a Scarlet Spider TV show.
Well, as long as they
didn't, would be sweet.
As long as they didn't put in dated material so it could be evergreen,
that'd be awesome.
Yeah. No, actually, I was thinking, because there's conversation in the chat room about, you know, with yet another difference in who Peter Parker is going to be. Like, we don't know who it's going to be yet and everything. Nobody wants to see another origin story. No. Another one would be completely ridiculous. I don't think they're going to do that. I think we can accept the fact that in the last like 10, 15 years, we've done the origin story a couple times. Everybody knows how Peter Parker becomes Spider-Man. Right. But there was some speculation. Are we going to see Miles Morales? And we now know that we're not. But like, wouldn't it be pretty cool if they found a way to work in a TV show for Miles Morales as Spider-Man? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And there were two Spider-Men running around? That would be flipping cool, right?
Yeah.
I don't want to get too close to the whole, you know, Clone Saga thing.
That was weird.
Ibbit might flip the table.
That's it. I'm going on.
So, you know, there have been some Scarlet Spider costumes that I liked. It's just that hoodie one.
Yeah.
Man. It's just the red leotard with the blue hoodie with the sleeves ripped off. I mean, come on now. I'm going to go to all this trouble to make a red leotard costume, but I need something else to kind of balance it out. I know this blue hoodie. Ooh, I know what I'm going to sketch or spray paint the Spider-Man logo on the front of it. Now there's a costume.
There, I tagged myself.
Yes.
I'm it. You were talking about the TV shows and the different things going. Here's what has got me most excited about the MCU currently is that, while I'm disappointed in where I thought the storyline was going with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., they've all but flat out said, and they may have flat out said and I missed it, that it's absolutely inhuman now. They're saying this inhumans. And yeah, they led us down that path.
The Terrigen Mists is the deal, is that the crystal in the very last episode was releasing Terrigen Mists.
Well, you know, and the thing is, like, people...
But they didn't flat out say that then.
Right.
But
No,
they didn't.
The reality is, because we don't have access to mutants, they need something. They need a way. It's like the DC shows right now, Arrow and Flash. Mm-hmm. You know, they have their own way of describing the events of the Flash storyline, where all these people have power suddenly. And Marvel kind of needs that. They need to explain superheroes that do crazy things.
Yeah.
Because thus far, all of our heroes are relatively rooted in logic and stuff.
It's agility. Absolutely. You know, it's a lot of training and very little superhuman stuff except for, of course, now, the Hulk.
And I agree with that. I see that and all that. And I was hoping they were going with more Nova Corps type stuff or you know, Kree type, you know, more galactic stuff with Guardians of the Galaxy. However, what I'm digging on this storyline is the fact they've announced an Inhumans movie coming up in the slate. And they're dealing with Inhumans now. They're doing what Marvel does best, which is tie all their properties together in this one universe. And again, I'm like, hells yeah. You know, we got Sif coming back in S.H.I.E.L.D. You've got Agent Carter making appearances with different things in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And then, of course, tying directly to Captain America. You know, the list goes on. But the fact that they're diving into a hardcore storyline that's going to lead to a movie in, was it 2 years, 3 years? Can't remember exact dates that they announced the Inhumans thing. That's awesome. Because I was a little concerned that they might separate, well, this is TV and this is a movie. Nope, it's all Marvel. And that's
it's all Marvel.
That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, that's going to be great. And, I mean, this really opens up the possibilities as well with the Sony being on board thing, too. Because... I mean, they could do almost anything. You know what I mean? At this point, at least for what Sony has rights to. And you were talking about tying everything together. I mean, it's not impossible that we don't see a storyline where the Kree become like the big bads for a while. You know, after we deal with, we know we're going to deal with Thanos and everything. But what if we end up with this big galactic war type event and the Kree are behind it or something like that, you know, because the Inhumans are kind of, they're pretty close to the Kree, you know, they're tied together in the storylines and everything. I mean, obviously if they're doing an Inhumans movie, we're going to see all the, you know, the core Inhumans team members, you know, Black Bolt and whatnot. I mean, there's a lot of potential as to what could happen and to how epic the scale could get. And I mean, look at what they did with Guardians of the Galaxy. Can you imagine, you know, the galactic Marvel film where like it's all out intergalactic war with everybody just going nuts on each other?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, they could do some pretty awesome stuff. So I am, and plus we don't know for certain that Ronan is dead.
It's true.
course.
You know,
it's true.
Villains always come back.
Yeah.
Well,
unless they're Heath Ledger's Joker.
Oh.
Well, no, it's true.
It's true.
That's true. That's terrible.
Come back.
You know, with digital editing, they could probably do a whole nother movie with that same acting.
Didn't they? I know. Well, they've done that with Philip Seymour Hoffman for the last
12 movies.
Hunger Games movie.
Yeah.
You know, casting, we need to get into our From the Field. Everybody's waiting on that note. But casting, I was just thinking about Black Bolt. And at first, I was going to say Jensen Ackles, to me, should be Black Bolt, because Black Bolt can't say anything. It's all facial acting. It's all responses. And Jensen Ackles, in my opinion, who is on Supernatural, he's Sam and Dean. He's Dean Winchester on Supernatural. He does really well with the facial expressions. But then I thought, if they're going to bring Mad Max in, he would be that character. Little off the rails, little funny, but smart, over the top facial expressions. So then I thought,
bringing Mad Max in.
Mad Max, isn't that his name? The cousin who builds all the crazy crap.
Maximus.
Any Mad Maximus? Yeah. I just shortened. I apologize. I like jugs. There, you laugh at that shortening one.
Mad Max is not a Marvel property.
Maximus, you've followed me on all my other shortenings, but not that one. I apologize, Mad Max,
because that's the name of something else.
But he's Mad Maximus. He is the Mad.
That also has a Maximus film coming out.
So we've established in this long history
You could have abbreviated to Maximad if you'd like.
Oh. But I believe we've established in the long history of From the Helicarrier, I don't actually get details right. You just have to think outside the box.
That's because you're just so busy with, you know, having things to do around Valentine's Day. I mean, you know what I mean?
Like, I'm going to have to send you a box of flowers, aren't I?
It's just really tough to keep things straight you're so busy. So busy.
I apologize.
No, it's cool. It's water under the bridge.
So, all right, let's get on to our
please
from the field. All right, Emmett, I've got you slated to start this
one. All right, this one comes in from Agent Stormhead. Hello, Helicarrier team. Agent Stormhead with another message. As we all know, Spec Ops 24 will have a group boss and a lockbox character in the form of Enchantress. Since I'm not good at beating group bosses, I want you guys to tell me a team I can use. I don't have gold items except for Infiltrator empowered armor. I have Heroic Age Iron Fist and I'm level 281. I don't have Iron Patriot. My lockbox characters are Hybrid, Fixer, and King. Spec Ops Heroes, Blade, Star-Lord, Emma Frost, and Havoc. Thanks, and I'm out. Well, with group bosses, if you want to use them as the silver pinatas that they are, you want characters that can they can just really pound them and stick around and stay alive. Some good ones to have. You've got Havoc, you mentioned. So that's a good one to use. Yeah. He can, knock a bunch of silver out of that pinata.
If I can jump in on that, I don't think Havoc's a really good candidate. Just because I find that his big, you know, alpha strike ability there tends to miss a lot on group bosses. So, like, he's kind of like, he can either, like, get you big bank, or he misses, and you're like, no.
You're out of turn.
Yeah.
You're out two turns, because it's got the cooldown. So,
like a mill, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I like, unless you get his ASO, which removes Kicks Like a Mule, but makes it a three-turn cooldown.
Right.
Yeah.
Juggernaut's another good one. Yeah. But he doesn't mention having Juggernaut. I mean, really, until we see what the mechanics of this current group boss are going to be, because we've seen several different kinds. We've seen the kind that that can change its class depending on who's attacking it. We've also seen the ones that just show up in different classes, and we've seen ones that are one class and one class only.
Yeah.
So I think until we know, but you've Iron Fist, another one, Heroic Age Iron Fist is a good one because he's got a good power attack that. What has 100% chance to hit usually?
Isn't that he's got the he has that if you do the prayer of Shaolao, he'll get the first one has fatal blow and all this other stuff. But if you get his EISO, he has 100% chance to combo break, which means it actually is still not 100%. I've seen sometimes where he doesn't, but on follow up attacks, counter attacks, and pre attacks, he should jump out to try to stop them from attacking. Mm-hmm. 100% of the time. Doesn't mean he'll always hit them. And if he doesn't hit, then they still attack. But he'll try to do it. And that makes him a staple full-on right. staple in your group boss and PvP stuff. So, but the counterattack thing is not so much in the group boss as it is the prayer of Shao Lao that changes his attacks and makes him very powerful.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, we really don't know what the group boss mechanic is going to be. Actually, I don't think he's even announced who the group boss is. We've seen Mir, we've seen Surtur, but I think he's even said that you guys haven't seen the group boss yet. Once we know who that is and once we get some attacks in him, stay tuned right here to From the Helicarrier and we'll have some recommendations. Kingfisher 745 will also have some recommendations. Great resource. If you're new to FTH and this whole MA thing, Agent Kingfisher should be your number one subscription on YouTube and the first thing you watch whenever there's a new episode.
Yeah, absolutely.
To get all those details.
And of course, we'll cover it as soon as we have tips and ideas and, mm-hmm. and those kind of things. A little side note, the swag hole on it's the Wilbur listeners on Blog Talk Radio. The swag hole. He says that Vin Diesel actually tweeted a meeting with Marvel a good little while back with a picture of Black Bolt, which would be easily doable because he's the voice of Groot, but you never see him. He could be the face of Black Bolt and you never hear him. That's
hilarious. Work. There's the Venn diagram circles that just don't intersect.
Right.
Dude, does he get paid twice for that movie?
Think about it.
Are they like, no, you only get paid once because you don't speak in any of your scenes.
We own you. Yep. All right, cool news. Thanks for letting us know that, because that's a cool thing. All right, Agent Wilkinson says, hello, Venom, Anti-Venom, and Agent Venom. Again, not necessarily in that order. And I'll go ahead and take Agent Venom, because I know a lot of people don't like him, but I like him. He's a cool guy.
I'm Flash Thompson, Charles.
You haven't even seen it yet. Oh, sorry. Had an interesting conversation with Alex Irvine. I suggested there should be an MAA novel, to which he replied, start a petition that would be 8,000 pages long. Now, this came in actually before the Q&A. So Agent Wilkinson actually got a hold of Alex Irvine. Or is it Irvine or Irvin? Do we know?
Alex Irvine.
Irvine.
Because there's other, you know, Irvines and
California
celebrity that there's an entire city pronounced Irvine in California.
So he says that start petition though it'd be 8,000 pages long. I guess the novel would be 8,000.
Yeah,
sure.
Okay, because yep. I'm sure with a petition you've got to get, for anybody to give a crap, you've got to get a solid amount of signatures. And I couldn't even begin to think what the number would be. Would it be 100,000? Would it be 500,000? A million signatures? To really, for Marvel to go, oh, okay, sure, we'll put money in that. I don't know. But now 8,000 pages doesn't bother me. The complete unabridged Harry Potter probably comes to about that. But I know little about starting petitions. And if I start one, no bugger's going to pay attention. But if you three did it, .. So thoughts, would an MAA novel be something you read? Oh, hell yeah, it'd be something I'd read.
Yeah.
And what would be the best way of getting a petition started?
There's online petition tools.
Yes, sir.
Let me tell you the site. There's like a big one. I can't remember what it was. Is it iPetitions?
Before we jump on the idea of a novel, because I think that's going to be a miss. I mean, comic books are a visual medium. You know, you kind of want to see what's going on. That's like the appeal. Now, for me, though,
it has to be a story, a major story.
This is an ample opportunity to explore territory that has not really been explored too much before. And that is to do a online digital comic book that is updated on a regular basis, not released like a comic book normally is, not just released through, you know, the Marvel app and everything, all that kind of stuff. I mean, literally web-based. Ties into the game, you know, they link to each other and stuff, and they could really go nuts with that and do a lot of cross promotion and pull people in, you know, make it free for everybody to read. So like you can just jump in and start reading the story that's going on, and then it ties into the events in the game.
That'd be,
you know,
perfect.
What I'm saying?
Like, yeah. Ties in with each chapter as they release a chapter, you've got the storyline that goes with it. Explains why Luke Cage is on the flight deck yet again.
Do you remember back in the day? They still do it to a certain degree nowadays, but back in the day, I always, especially in the 80s and 90s, I'd always remember like they pick up the story and it's say, oh, you know, if I'm reading like Uncanny X-Men, it would say, go read Amazing X-Men number 78 to mm-hmm. get the backstory on the thing that they just referenced.
Yeah, they do that. A little star editor, you know, reference. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Right. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Now, if they did that with the online webcomic and it tied into the game and it's like, go play Spec Ops number 65 to go see, you know, mm-hmm. part of the story or what we're referencing or whatever. That would be huge.
Yeah.
And it's not, you know, it's not a wasteful expenditure to do it because it is promoting the game that is a revenue driver.
And you could bring up and coming artists into the fold as well.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Just like off the top of my head, not that he would want this job and he's established on his own right, but he could become bigger if he wanted to. But Lynn Peralta, you know, somebody like that who is a very talented artist that does comics, that has creative, just amazing creativity to them, that could then get their foot into the door if they wanted to with Marvel by doing this level of work. Mm-hmm.
And maybe like, you know, somebody like Len, who's probably relatively busy, maybe doesn't want to commit to a full run on a modern comic book.
Right.
But could commit to a short run. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's one of those things that somebody can just kind of jump in and do for a little while, you know? And it would really expose people to, like, you could bring in some of the classic artists. You could bring in new up-and-coming artists. All kinds of options like that. Mm-hmm. Really tie everything together. It'd be sweet. Sam Woods, who does most of the art assets for the game. Obviously, I'd love to see, like, more of that.
Yeah,
like, yeah. All that kind of stuff. I think it'd be fantastic. And it'd be an awesome way to just pull people in and, you know, funnel them into your game that's a revenue driver, you know, and get more people playing this awesome game that we play. I mean,
yeah.
Awesome when content comes out. But I've thought for a long time because I've followed a couple other franchises and some webcomics over the years that have done stuff like this. Like Magic the Gathering did it for a while. They for a couple years, they released webcomics occasionally when a new set was coming out. And it wasn't a full-fledged comic book or anything, but they would release a couple things in the months leading up to really get people amped up and give them a little bit more of the story that they couldn't represent in the game itself. And I think that's one of the things that we struggle with MAA is that they want to tell stories. It's obvious, but if they put too many panels into the game, we're already done this five times.
I think you hit it on the head with that because when they launched the very first time they did a teaser for a comic book, we thought there was going to be some kind of major comic event mm-hmm. in the game. Mm-hmm. And everybody across the board was excited about it. I saw no negative comments on it until it turned out, oh, wait, this is just in Marvel Comics. It has nothing to do with the game.
Yeah.
So yes, I think all across the board we would love that. It'd be
and basically great. If they hosted it, if they did it as a webcomic, I guess if you would say, then there's no reason for people to get confused and think that the storyline that they're doing for Avengers Alliance is part of the normal continuity for the books that you would go buy at your local comic shop. Mm-hmm. They could if they chose to, but they've kind of made it clear that they really want to separate it. You know, they want it to be its own version of the story. And I think that's a great way to kind of flesh out more of the world, tell more of the story that you have going on, you know, without necessarily putting a book on a shelf that's going to confuse people or mm-hmm. anything like that. So
sounds great. you get this next one.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I'm going to send Playdom the bill for the development time I just put in my freelance. when I bill them one of these days, it's going to be hefty. Okay.
Yeah. You'll have to let them know they can pay in installments.
Because when the webcomic comes out in 6 months, I'm going to be like, I told you.
Now, what would be awesome is they actually reach out to you to consult on some form of that.
That would be great.
You know, I think you'd be a great consultant on some of the back end, like how the story should go and how the pieces should fit together. I think because you really track that very well through the game and how it makes sense. I think you'd be great at that. Now, when Agent I bill you them. For getting you the job.
Right? Exactly. Right. Thank you for being my agent, you're Agent right. McFall. Agent Love Monkey writes in with, "Hello, agents. I have an idea for the daily login roulette, and I want to see what you guys think if my email makes it onto the show. This is not to debate the use of the weighted roulette, with some items being hard to get harder to get than others because of their weight. I understand why they do it, although I don't always like it. With no new content recently, the daily roulette has not changed. If there's one item I can't stand on there, it's the PvP challenge token, which is easily one of the most useless items in the game. What frustrates me is that the PvP challenge token is a reward in incursions and is usually part of the PvP bonus roulette after winning your 5 battles for the day. So winning the same item extremely frequently on the daily login roulette is frustrating. Maybe it's because I'm not a hardcore PvP player, having never finished higher than Diamond, but that's another story. But I have close to 100 of these items and no use for them. My idea is to leave the challenge tokens in the incursions and on the PvP bonus roulette, but to replace it on the daily login roulette with previous Spec Ops boss weapons. For example, a recent Spec Op item I wanted but was not able to win was the Savage Axe, which was the boss reward from Spec Op 21, Mission 2 boss roulette. It seemed like an excellent item, and despite my attempts, I never won it. Also, I remember Kingfisher saying that he never won the combat communicator, and he might have gotten it, I'm not sure, and that item was from Spec Op 20. Mission 1 boss roulette. I did win the combat communicator, and it's one of my favorite items. So the idea is to remove the PvP token and place these boss items on the roulette. Change the weight to fit, but at least give us an item that can be useful and let us have a chance at these items that we won't see again. Anyways, would love to hear your opinions, Agent Love Monkey.
Now, I said that just because I wanted to hear your voice saying, Agent Love Monkey.
Agent Love Monkey. So immediate quick feedback on this. Here's my feelings. I hate that too. And I PvP as much as anybody, maybe not as much as some people. Okay, that's not fair. But like, I hate the fact that when I'm doing PvE content, I get PvP tokens. Like, it's super dumb to me. I should get other, like, I should get energy refills and other PvE related stuff. PvE
items.
Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Because if I'm not a PvP player, like our good friend Agent Frank Allen, for a long time, he did not like to PvP. So for him, he would just accumulate these items and have nothing to do with them. And I feel the same way because I never need to use my reserve. I have hundreds of them and I use some on game day, but I never use up my whole, you know, I've always accumulated by the next end of the next PvP tournament. I always have more than I had at the end of the last one. So,
sure.
You know what I mean?
That number's always going up. Yeah.
Yeah. That number's never. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the thing, like, and I absolutely agree with that. PvE should reward PvE stuff, and PvP and, you know, the incursion being the kind of hybrid thing. I think the incursion having a little of both, you know, having some energy refill and maybe having some PvP refill is a good idea because it is a little bit of both. It's a PvE encounter with the PvP setup. That makes a lot of sense. So that's my stance on it. I completely agree. And I would love to see them trickle in some old items and stuff like that through something like that. They've got the daily missions, so they do a lot of the old Spec Ops stuff that way, but they could do something a little bit differently. And I completely agree with that.
What if, instead of getting smaller roulette spins, like you do when you, do a mini boss or a boss or a hero deploy in a mission. I guess you only get them on mini bosses, but you do on regular bosses. What if instead of getting roulettes on those, you got tokens, spin tokens that you could use for other roulette spins? So an epic boss spin or a boss spin.
Mm.
So when you're doing your primary, you know, probably the best place for this would be the hero deploys because you always get junk in the hero deploys. Occasionally you'll get an AI. So, but instead of giving us a roulette, give us a spin token that we can then use on either the daily spin, the PvP roulette spin, a boss spin, an epic boss spin. And you'd have the same effect because people would still be spending gold on energy to get through those. But you'd have this extra benefit of, you know, making the people feel like they've got another way to win these things.
Yeah. Again, you know, contact Ibbot at coverbill.com to give him a job too, because you got it, man. That makes sense.
Yeah. Next one comes from Agent E. Hood. Says yes, 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 or yeese, I guess. Yeese. I found the solution. Performance troubles have you down? Time and money seem to leave you bone dry after farming 12.2. Is the roulette wheel spin as eerie as the guy that whispers into your ear gingerly behind you while you're focusing on your complex PvP practice setups? Well, look no further, because this email will cover none of those things. My idea is that there should be gold kickback to weapons one bought and certain ISOs. I currently have 2 Cosmic Cardinals, 1 purchased and 2 Scarlet Witch, 30 gold ISOs, lucky me. It would be a great idea to provide a system to label weapons in certain classes 5 stars to 0 stars. For example, the GG prototype would be 4 stars, which I also have. In order to get X amount of gold, you would need a 5-star plus 4-star weapon, etc. You get the idea. Weapons purchased and not won would have difference in value. Maybe weapons won could have 20% or less, and weapons bought 45% back on gold, because at lower levels, let's face it, we made some dumb decisions. I have the entire 24 gold costume collection to prove it. Yes, it's okay to cringe. It's sort of like my virtual knee that always hurts when it rains. The kickback could also exchange the weapons into silver and not CP, because gold already exchanges into CP, but you could sell an entire set for more gold than a single piece if you have it. I think it would be good to have a weapon gold kickback system. They can give something to new players as well. Maybe they win a rare weapon, but rather use it to transfer into 20 gold or something. What do you think? Agent Hood out. Love the podcast and the energy you bring into every Taco Tuesday. Peace, brothers. I'm hungry. P.S. I drew the Emma Frost entry. So basically looking for a way to cash in duplicate weapons for gold. And I love the idea. Saying which items are 5-star versus 0-star. I mean, everything that's like the current 305, 310 level, would you make that all 5-star?
I don't know.
I think there could just be a ratio. You know, we don't have to complicate it. You know, if something gets sold for a certain gold price, maybe you can get a third of it back by trading it and destroying it or whatever you want to say. Maybe only have it turn into CP. I don't know. There's lots of different options to do it so that it doesn't get too busted. But like, my thought is, if I've ponied up the cash and I've bought gold, or I've worked really, really hard to grind enough gold to buy a bunch of these weapons and I just don't use them, give me a way to dump them and get something back. It doesn't have to, I don't expect a full refund. You know, I'm not a crazy man.
But it's like trading in your games, like your video games. You buy them for full price, or even if you buy them used, you buy them lower price and they depreciate with time. So there'd be certain weapons that you always want. Your neurotrope, if somebody were to sell that, that should get a high value because somebody wants that. You know, I guess it works a little different because these are virtual and nobody's going to rebuy the weapon. But yeah, I think that you should expect a way low amount than what you paid to get it. But
yeah. I mean, we are kind of verging on a player auction house thing, which I think would be amazing, but I just don't think the platform could support it.
I don't think this is the right area for it. I don't think it'd really work well in this game.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. But absolutely. Some kind of system that gives us some options would be great.
Sure.
Yeah. And of course, we've been calling for, as much as everybody else, we've been calling for respin tokens forever. That should be done.
See, now, you know, an alternative that I could see, I don't see them doing this just because they make so much money from gold that to give it away, I think would be counterproductive to them. What I could see them doing, though, is saying, all right, you bought that weapon, you can trade it back into the store for another weapon with a certain amount of other gold. So, you know, any of your 305, 310 items plus 10 gold will get you any 64 gold weapon.
Okay, yeah. Yeah.
Or something along those lines.
Okay. Yeah, maybe.
But still, I don't see that happening either, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It becomes a question of, you know, at what point is it about generating revenue and at what point is it about taking care of your customers? Mm-hmm. Because generally people who are in this situation are people who've invested in their game or they've worked really, really hard, you know? So in either case, they're pretty gung-ho and you should probably look for a way to take care of them. So I don't know. That's my stance on it.
All right. Agent Zapflitz says, sorry. I didn't see you there. I was just resting my eyes for a minute. Boy, it sure is tough to keep up with all the new stuff Playdom has put into the game, isn't it? But that's kind of the theme for today's show. Everybody's a little agitated. We're on edge, you know.
We just want more. Give us something.
Yeah. Well, while we wait for Spec Ops to drop, in between training up Carolina Dean and doing the daily missions, I decided to do something I should have done a long time ago. The rest period is the perfect time for a performance review of some of SHIELD's less active agents and a chance to replace those who aren't doing their part. So if you have the time, and let's face it, we all do, can I suggest that you take the time to go through your ally bar and weed out any colleagues in SHIELD who may not be pulling their weight? He's testy. Wow. He's like cutting real people. He's not even cutting Luke Cage. He's cutting real people here. It's pretty easy to work out if an ally is no longer active. Check if they have mastered the most of the missions by looking at their Season 2 rank. The little circle image on your ally bar with the military decorations. Really? That's what that is? Okay. I only really paid attention. I know what he's talking about. I only really paid attention to the PvP ones because they look cool. If they've got only a few stripes or no stars, you may want to look at whether they're still inactive. Visit their profile, click on their tournament history. Even the people who hate PvP tend to play once for silver, so if they haven't participated in a while, they probably are not active. Finally, try sending them a gift and see if they return it. Wow, he is bored. Holy cow. Man. Go through your uncollected gifts and see if they're on there. Inactive allies don't return gifts. Still not sure. Maybe take a look at what characters they have. One ally in my bar hadn't got anyone since Fandral. Pretty sure he's not playing anymore. I'm looking at you, Klotz. No, I'm mad at that part. I'm sorry. Obviously, should have been way funnier than you guys gave me credit for. I'm just saying. Obviously, this isn't guaranteed to work. If you're still not sure, you may just want to ask them whether they still play regularly or not. That's what I was thinking. It's like, hey, man, do you play? Okay, no, cut them off. All right, but if they haven't mastered most of the missions, haven't played PvP in months, and don't have any recent heroes, they may well be taking up a spot that another ally could fill. So to get rid of them, just go to the allies in the top bar where you receive gifts and scroll down to your list of allies and click remove ally and wait 24 hours for them to be replaced. With the new group boss about to come out, we'll all want a row of 50 Surtrs to battle. What you don't want is 5 Surtrs and 45 allies who haven't logged in for a year, which is, he's got a really good point there.
I don't think it works that way, though. I believe if you get a group boss for somebody on your list, I think they come to the top, but I could be wrong.
Well, okay, they do float to the top. What he's saying is, and I've seen that happen before. I got to the level I'm at now where I have all 300s and they're all active. And if you're not active, Marvel pretty much replaces you for me by the activity floats to the top. But if you don't have that many friends at play, I've had that happen before where I had 5 active people who are battling Thanos. And you know, every 3 days I get that 5 invites and I play them. And because the rest of the people weren't active, they either didn't care, they didn't play the group boss, you know, whatever the reasons is, when you're trying to get that silver loot, you want 50 active allies is the idea. Yeah. But he went really in depth on how to figure that out. So
yeah, I guess
kudos to you, Zaplets. Because if you excuse me, I feel tired all of a sudden. Something else I figured out as we're going into a lockbox, here's the downside to this. Even if I'm on your ally bar, I can't tell you how many allies. I know I have 50 level 300s who are all active. So even if I'm on your ally bar and you include me, because when you launch a group boss, you launch it to however many people, whatever, right? So basically I get the invite to say, hey, come battle Agent Ibbitt's boss.
Right.
Klotz is not on my ally bar, and it's no slight to him. It's because... Yeah, the ranking of how Marvel floats
it. 300s.
Yeah, how it's the weight of how Playdom does
it. That's all right. Ibbit has been sitting on the very edge of dropping off my bar forever. Like, I've accepted a lot of friends, and I'm always like, when's it going to knock Brian off? Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. And it just hasn't happened, so. Yeah.
So when it comes to the group boss, even if you invite us, we cannot help you. That's a weird thing. Like, we're great as a distress call. And that's why I'm on probably a ton of allies list, because I'm very active. I'll send them the thing. They'll fight my boss. I'll send everybody on my allies list. That's more than 50. Y'all send everybody on my allies list a group boss. So they'll fight my boss, but I can't help you fight your boss. And it's a weird catch-22.
So when you're going through your names, you want to make sure not to pick folks who are not on your bar. So when you're like, you know, when you're releasing your group bus, prior to that, you probably want to go through your list of 50 that you have along your ally bar and make sure that you're using people from there, right?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
I target specific people. Like I have a little mental list of the people that I know that are active that I'm going to throw it at.
It's, yeah. Sometimes
usually you can, I do too. But I know that some of those people have dropped off because they're below level 300. You were on that list too before. So, wow.
Yeah. And sometimes with the group boss, when you launch it, you can click all allies and then it'll send it to everybody, not just the people in your bar. It'll send it to everybody you're allies with. But yeah, if you're hand picking and you really want to take the time and trouble, pick the names that are not on your bar, I guess. I don't know. It's weird. It's still a little fuzzy area that they have. But with that, we are going to have to fly off here and send the rest to the flight deck. So apologies to Archdemon Nikolai, who's sending a great email here, and Agent Aki. O2. I'm trying to say it right. Apparently, I don't say his agent name right. I apologize. Aki. Aki. Who actually put in this really hilarious ode to Squirrel Girl. This is a great, he wrote this great poem for Squirrel Girl. So I hate that we didn't get to read it. It will be on From the Flight Deck.
Does that have to be sung to a certain, like, is it Squirrel Girl, oh, Squirrel Girl,
he didn't dark say.
Hair so fun. Like is it?
But you will be able to read these emails by subscribing to the newsletter on thehelicarrier.com or just looking at the From the Flight Deck tag at the top. It has every email, including the red ones, the ones that we've read on air since we started it. Not going back to all 70 plus shows before, but the last couple shows. If it makes it on the flight deck, it's because we've read it or not read it. It made it to us. I think that's it. I don't have any tips.
With that being said, you can find more of Agent Ibbitt over at coverville.com.
And you can find more of Agent McFall in Las Vegas at the New Media Expo in April.com, as well as facebook.com/House of the Bear.
We're so taking a selfie from the stage that we're going to share this year.
Oh, yeah.
All of the stages. I shouldn't just say the stage because we're on a panel together on a stage, but hopefully we'll be sharing the stage with the Helicarrier win this year.
Oh, that would be awesome. That's be right. Great. Yeah. And to everybody who submitted our name for nomination, thank you very much.
Yes.
We will find out on
February 22nd.
So a week from now, we'll know.
Yep. And
a little more than a week from now. 9 days.
And you can find out more of Agent Klotz hanging out all over thehelicarrier.com, where he's developing his own show and putting out some articles and doing some great things coming for us. And check out thehelicarrier.com for strategy and news articles, as well as the entire podcasting archive. Music is provided by The Beginning at Last. They give us the song Avenge that is played on the beginning of this live show and on the beginning and end of the podcast. Email from thehelicarrier@gmail.com. Rate us on iTunes. Twitter is at FTHelicarrier is our Twitter feed. And we always like to be tagged whenever you tagged at MAN Insider so that they see that we're influential too. We love those guys. We do. We've talked about the Palladium lack of content, but they're working on it. We do love the guys over there, or we wouldn't be doing the show and playing the game.
Absolutely.
So that's it.
Okay. Well, with that, I wasn't prepared.
The boss has fled.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.